you know, you can participate and you take them home. And as you know, prayer, what we are starting all our Byzantine Catholic prayers in Eastern tradition for every kind of prayers, officials, what we are doing, we are starting with this prayer. So I invite you now to sing also with me. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, everywhere present and filling all things, Treasury of blessings and Giver of life, come and dwell in us, cleanse us of all stain, and save our souls, O gracious one. So I would like to start with one story, because it's very connected with mission and also with my life. When I was in Jesuit novitiate, in 1996 in Trnava, close to Bratislava, I have 20 years. I was 20 years old. And, you know, we came as a young guys, you know, enthusiastic, you know, to novitiate, you know, with small house, 12 novices. And our novice master was speaking us, all right, Jesuits, always wearing mission. And you have to be ready that maybe Father General will send you in some mission over all world. And you have to be ready. And myself, you know, my heart, as you know, young guy said, oh yeah, you can speak about, you know, missions, you know, outside. I will remain for forever, you know, in Slovakia. So this was, you know, the introduction of this, that, you know, the God has a sense for humor. And even maybe you have, you know, this experience that you schedule your life, but maybe you as an elderly, and afterwards you know that little bit of change. And this is a greatness of the life and the beauty of the life, to be able, you know, to accept not our will, but the will of God. No? We are asking in every Our Father prayer, you know, this, thy will be done. Not thy will, my will, but will done. And this is important also for us to know that this is a Christian sense of Christian life, to be listening, to be attentive, to be, you know, to listen to the word of God, voice of God for us. What God wants in my life, what He wants to do in my life, how to God wants to, you know, use my life and my talents for others. So, the mission of the every one of us, as we are here, as every baptized Christian, we receive from Lord Jesus Christ this mission: go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commandments I gave you. And look, I am with you always. Yes, at the end of time. So this is very important for us, you know, to keep and hold in our hearts and our, you know, in the mind, that every Christian, every baptized, got this mission to go out, to go in mission. Catholic Church, you know, thanks, you know, the 12 apostles. Can you imagine 12 apostles? Simple guys, you know, fishermen. No high school, no colleges, no doctorates, nothing. And they were able to evangelize and to give, you know, this good news to pagans. But not only, they were able to die for Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. They were able to die for Jesus Christ. Because you know the word, Greek word, martyrion, you know what does it mean? Martyrion means witness. Every martyr is a witness of Jesus. And this is something what, you know, we are invited to be, also today in the United States, to be witness. Don't worry about this, that, you know, maybe the Catholic Church in the United States is shrinking in here, northeast Ohio, etc. Where is our faith? Tell me. Where is our faith, you know, to believe that God, you know, is keeping, holding all, you know, in their hands, in His hands? Important what I mentioned in the beginning. We are fulfilling the will of God Or we are looking for, you know, the our will in our life, in our families, in our jobs, in our churches, in our parishes, in our eparchies, dioceses, etc. So the second chapter of the decree of the Second Vatican Council concerning the pastoral office of bishops in the Church, Christus Dominus, speaks about the task of the Catholic bishops. It is important because, you know, I'm speaking about me, but it's good to know also for you, you know, because many times, especially right now in media, you know, follow how, you know, the bishops, what is their art, they, you know, what they did, etc. But it's important for every Catholic to know what is the main mission of the Catholic bishop in the world today. What Second Vatican Council said. The diocese or eparchy is a portion of the people of God which is entrusted to a bishop to be shepherded by him with the cooperation of the presbytery. Thus, by adhering to its pastor and gathered together by him through the gospel and the Eucharist in the Holy Spirit, it constitutes a particular church in which the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of Christ is truly present and operative. It's truly present. One holy Catholic and Apostolic. It's truly present in every parish of Catholic Church over the whole world. Individual bishops who have been entrusted with the care of the particular church under the authority of the Supreme Pontiff, they feed their sheep in the name of the Lord as their own ordinary and immediate pastors, performing for them the office of the teaching, sanctifying, and governing. It is very important to know. What you know is, you know, the mission of the bishop, but also every priest, to teach, to teaching, to sanctifying, and to governing. I will, you know, will be follow, you know, these 3 points in my speech. Bishops should dedicate themselves to the apostolic office as witness, we are here this word again, as witness of Christ before all men. So first of all, bishop has to be witness. If we are not witnesses, is a priest, we are not witnesses, a religious, but every baptized for others, we are in risk. Not that we are neglecting our mission. And our mission is connected with our identity. Who I am, why I'm here, who I am, and also, you know, this mission. So mission and identity, it's connected together. You see, these important things. So in exercising the duty, the bishops, of teaching, which is conspicuous among the principal duties of bishops, they should announce the gospel of Christ to men. So this is the first mission and duty and task of every Catholic bishop, to proclaim the word of God, to announce the gospel, the good news to all world. Calling them today to a faith in the power of the Spirit, or confirming them in a living faith. They should expose the whole mystery of Christ to them, namely, those trust the ignorance of which is ignorance of Christ. At the same time, they should point off the divinely relieved by the give glory to God, and thereby to attain to eternal happiness. So, you know, this is a mission of the bishops. But, you know, remember, please, bishop is not able to do it without you. Bishop is not able to do it without priest. Thank you, priest, for your ministry, what you are doing for us. Because without you, we are not able. But only, as a Second Vatican Council, as you know, many times, you know, is underlined, the importance of the layman and the laywoman. So, you know, we are not concurrents here. As a something, you know, many know these movements. We are not concurrents in each other. We were, you know, laymen. I was raising up, you know, the parish and as an altar boy, as a small boy, as a, these kids, as a, I was in their age, you know, and with all these desires and the dreams, what they have. It's a good, as Pope Francis is telling, to have your dreams keep it and go, you follow it. Your dreams, what you have, because you know we have to have these people. Because only in this we have, you know, some desires and good desires, we can change something. And the first, ourselves, no? It's more difficult, but it's very important. So and afterwards, what is the bishop has to, you know, to do? They should show, moreover, that earthly goods and human institutions, according to the plan of God, the Creator, are also disposed for man's salvation, and therefore can contribute much to the building up of the body of Christ. You know, how is important, you know, to see also, you know, the earthly goods and human institutions. How is important, you know? We can say, no, we will be and only pray. Yes, we have it, because after the proclaiming the word of God, the bishop, the second his duty is praying, to pray, and to pray a lot. You know, these are two more important things. But as we heard, you know, from Second Vatican Council, also, you know, to that earthly goods and human institutions, according to the plan of God, the Creator, are also disposed for man's salvation, and therefore can contribute much to the building up of the body of Christ. And right now, therefore, they should teach, according to the doctrine of the Church, the great value of these things, the human person, with his freedom and bodily life, the family and its unity and stability, the procreation and education of children, civil society with its laws and professions, labor and leisure, the arts and technical inventions, poverty and affluence. Finally, they should set forth the ways by which are to be answered the most serious questions concerning the ownership, increase and just distribution of material goods, peace and war, and brotherly relations among all countries. So as you know, as you see, it's a tough for us, no? That, you know, to do all, you know, to do it, you know, what, you know, the Second Vatican Council is asking us, demanding us, is a tough. But with the help of God, it's possible. All is possible, and with help of you, because, you know, as I mentioned, without you, it's not possible, you know, to do it. Because church is not the bishops, it's not the priest. Bishops are all baptized brothers and sisters. It's a different, no, definition. Because it's interesting how, you know, the world from outside is looking for us, no? As a what? As a we are, you know, only, you know, there's all the black cassocks, or, you know, what, you know, there's all these crowns, and there's rings, and all. No. We are, as I mentioned, you know, we have to be with you. And Pope Francis is repeating many times, we have to smell as a sheep. To smelling, you know, as a sheep. I don't know if you study maybe with sheep, you young guys. Do you say maybe, you know, to be with sheep? If no, maybe I recommend you to go. Maybe to make, you know, from your high school, you know, to maybe to go some farm for maybe one day to see and to smell. It's nice. It's nice, you know, to know, you know, because afterwards, you know, we know there's a wonderful, you know, the sheep cheese we have it on table, maybe, you know. But how is difficult, you know, to do it, to make it. To get up, you know, at 3 a.m., you know, to these farmers, to, you know, to go to take, you know, this little, you know, the portion of this milk, and, you know, afterwards, and, you know, really, you know, with all honor and with all respect myself, because, yes, my grandparents' parents were farmers, you know, in the Carpathian Mountains. So I know what does it mean, because it was hard work. It was, you know, it's a tough. You know, and every, you know, human work, honest human work, has to have respect. You know, this is a Christian position. It's not some dirty work on some, you know, only nice work. Every work, what is honest, it's good. If you know, if you with hands or by head, we are receiving, you know, money for our work. And this is also, you know, position the church and supporting, you know, social teaching of the church, Catholic Church, for this, you know, these initiatives, what is doing. So, as I said, many Catholics are maybe asking, what bishops are doing all this? No? So maybe I will try maybe to, you know, shortly, you know, to tell you maybe what is, you know, these three points what I mentioned, you know, this teaching, sanctifying, and governing. What the bishop, you know, to do it. Also as a myself here in the United States. As Father Dan, you know, mentioned is, I'm here the fifth year. So I came, you know, 2017, and so I'm sorry for my English. So I would like to ask you, you know, permission, because it's not my first language. As you know, as a kid, we have to, you know, to learn Russian. You know why? Because Soviet Union, as our big brother forever, they have imposed us to, you know, to learn Russian. So, you know, if somebody, if somebody was, you know, learning English during communism, they became very careful. What does it mean? Why you are learning English? What's behind? You know, for you it's strange, but you know, during communism, if somebody was, you know, learning English, German, French, they have only one idea. He wants escape from our, you know, kingdom of communism. Suspicious everywhere. As you know, suspicion is from devil. It's not from God. Because God is willing. He is wishing. He is giving you. The devil is suspicious. He wants to leave. We know why he's learning English. So I started, you know, one year after scratch a down communism, start to learn English. So the teaching, as we heard, the basic mission of the bishops are, you know, to preach the word of God, to announce the even of salvation, you know, as well to the exhort and or teach. So to preach the solemn proclamation, kerygma is a Greek word. Kerygma, maybe you heard about this. Kerygma is very important. You know, every homily has to be, you know, this kerygma. The priest, the bishop, has, you know, to announce, you know, the good news. And this good news, what is it? That our Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. That's it. You know, and this afterwards, you know, and this is the art, you know, to put in life. This is a little bit more difficult. But, you know, this is the main, as our, you know, our mission, you know, to proclaim the kerygma, to proclaim, you know, this good news. This is really, you know, also in this time where we are. This good news, you know, they need everyone. Go to listen to people. Take, you know, watch, you know, the news, break news. Did you see there some, you know, hope? Did you see there some joy? Did you see someday, you know, some perspective? People are desperate. I'm listening, you know, those confessions. People are disappointed, desperate, hopeless. And this, you know, is here, you know, that we are invited, you know, to open our hearts to this good news, the words of God. And he's giving out hope. He's telling, I am with you. Don't worry. I am with you on the end of this world. And I'm promising you new life. Can you imagine what does it mean? New life. Where is starting, you know, this new life? This life starting here. But its fulfillment will be after. So it is, you know, you say, you can, yes. Many times I heard, you know, this and other. You have to speak about this because you are paid for this. I said, come on, okay. You know, my salary, you will be also willing to, you know, to be bishop. So this is as a something, you know, that you know, this witness or the word of God is very important. And this I would like, you know, to invite you, brothers and sisters. Take one chapter from Gospels a day. Read one chapter a day the Gospels. Do you know how long time is taking? One chapter? 7 minutes, maximum 7 minutes. Tell me what you can do during 7 minutes during your day. 7 minutes. Is it a lot? Is it too much? So come on. I'm challenging you as a bishop. Come on, start today. to read every day one chapter from Gospels. Start with Matthew. It's nice because you know this Advent time, preparation for Christmas. One chapter. Maybe you will not understand all. You have priests here. Come on, ask them. They are waiting for your questions. And do it every day. Start your day with in silence with your Bible before nice icon of Christ, of Virgin Mary, in 10 minutes. And I assure you that you will be happy in your life. This is my experience as a Jesuit. When I start to make meditation from novitiate, from 1995, 1 hour a day. I'm telling you, I'm grateful for this time in my life. To be with Lord. It's not theory, you know, it's not something training. To simply, you know, be with Him. Be with Jesus. Open, you know, your Bible. And be in silence. And Lord will start to speak with you. I assure you. In silence, Lord will be, you know, reveal you what He wants from you. In silence, Lord will, you know, show you how He loves you. How He loves you. Can you imagine how many people are feeling unhappy because they are not loved by others? Go to, you know, this ordination of the psychologist, psychiatrist. With all respect, we need them. But, you know, we can save their job. If we as a Christians, we should start, you know, to really seriously take our mission as a Christians to daily to meet with Jesus. Because, you know, with whom you are meeting, it's a proverb, maybe in the United States you have this proverb, with whom you are meeting, I will tell you who you are. If you are meeting with, with fishermen, you will be well, good fishermen. You will be meet with Jesus, you will be nice follower and disciple of Jesus. So this is, you know, something what we can maybe say, what we need to do in this, you know, this Advent time. It's coming Christmas, we have to, you know, to take care, you know, the gifts. No, you don't need. You have to know that the biggest gift what we have, it's coming, is Jesus Christ, nothing else. Nothing else, you don't need, we didn't need other. You have to food, to eat. You have your bed. Do you need something more? Do you need some last edition in your iPhone? Something? No. It's not necessary for life. I assure you know that nice life is also without last type of iPhone or smartphone. I assure you. So, this is what you know what we need. So the content of Christian preaching is to call to conversion. It's a very important word. You know, we as a Christian, we are not too happy with this, you know, to listen to this. That true kerygma, you know, true preaching of the gospel without to inviting, you know, to conversion is a nice talk. It's not homily. It's not kerygma. It's not the preaching the gospel. Because what did Jesus, Saint John Baptist, what he did as a first? Heavenly King is here at hand. Change your life. That's it. And this is, you know, challenging. Everyone, no? Phew, I have, you know, changed my life. So I have to get up 1 hour, maybe 20 minutes earlier. Oh! This is a challenge. But come on, don't worry about challenges in your life. To know today, I will not see my movie evening or my son's earlier episodes. Oh! Come on, turn off the TV. If you love more Jesus as in yourself, you will do it. I assure you. And take some book, or maybe go to sleep. It's better also, you know, because you need rest for next day. So, you know, we have many challenges today. If you don't know what you need to, I will afterward, you can evade me and I will give you advice if you want. How to, you know, maybe know this repentance, this challenge. So, teaching, what does it mean, the teaching of the Catholic Church? It means to be faithful to the Pope of Rome, brothers and sisters. I will tell you one story in our church in Czechoslovakia during communism in the 50s, last century. That, you know, our church, Byzantine Catholic Church, was persecuted for 40 years. Our two bishops, Blessed Bishop Gojdič and Blessed Bishop Hopko, were tortured by communists. The Blessed Bishop Paul Gojdič died in prison as a 72-year-old guy. He was sick for cancer of stomach, and communists didn't permit him to heal and, you know, to go to, you know, to take care as a health. For one reason, do you know why? They have fear from him. Because he was so high authority, you know, moral authority, they have fearful from revolution. Because our people, you know, the Highlanders in Slovakia, Eastern Slovakia, I assure you. So they are, you know, on the disco, you know, this walk, dancing. They, you know, they are, you know, the flying, you know, the knives. And, you know, the chairs. So I want a little bit to describe, you know, the mentality of the people. They are not kidding, even for girls, when they, you know, fighting, we were fighting for girls. So, but afterwards also, you know, this only, not only this, can you imagine, in this time, communists executed all property of farmers. Can you imagine? Many of them, they were here, you know, in the United States, you know, in mines to make money. Many of them, they finished, you know, by that, you know, the mines. They bought, you know, some fields in Slovakia, Czechoslovakia. In the 50s, communists came and make old common, because our great Lenin and Marx, you know, they need it. Many people, laymen, finished in the prisons. You know why? Only for one reason. Because they defended our their property. Can you imagine? They defended their own property. My grandma told, you know, the publicly, before, after the church, if somebody will come to take my car, how is, you know, this for, you know, to take for, you know, the
pitchfork.
Which?
Pitchfork.
He said, he can see the pitchfork, you know, behind the, you know, the back. Can you imagine? It was, she wasn't kidding. Because, you know, she has had six kids. And nobody knows how it will be fitting. You know, this was communism. So why I'm telling this, that, you know, the our bishops, you know, the Greek Catholic bishops, had offering, you know, to go to Orthodox Church and directly to be, you know, patriarch. Can you imagine Czechoslovakia? He should be, Blessed Gojdič should be, you know, the patriarch directly of the Orthodox Church in Czechoslovakia. One thing he needs to do. One signature. And he said, I appreciate my Catholic faith and the Pope of Rome more as an honor and to be patriarch. And for this reason, he got, you know, the penalty, what is it, on the end of life. So,
that sentence,
that, you know, for on the end of life, he should be, you know, in prison. So this was, you know, the 72-year-old guy. Can you imagine? For also, then afterward, they only abbreviated only for 25 years. So this is, you know, the how you know, how is my background? It's important to know, because, you know, maybe many people will be strange. What is it telling this? You know, I was growing up, you know, the close the martyrs. My priest, when he baptized me, he can't, 18 years, he can't celebrate publicly Holy Mass. 18 years! On his family was forbidden to come back in his region and he has to buy, you know, the apartment, you know, in other region, 200 miles from afar from original region. After 18 years, he can come back and celebrate publicly Divine Liturgy. Can you imagine? Broken by works, you know, because they were working, you know, as all these guys. 250 priests refused to make signature and to go to pass to Orthodox Church and to say, no, we will be faithful to the Catholic Church. They were witnesses, brothers and sisters. They were witnesses when I was raised, growing up. So it's honor for me. And if I am no more elderly, I appreciate more. Because when I was young, I was a little bit stupid. But you know, but right now, as I know, elder and elder, I feel that how is important to appreciate, you know, their witness. They were characters. They, you know, denied career. They denied, you know, for Christ, you know, the nice life. Supported by communists. Paid by communists, you know, the salary. You will be priest, you walk on Sunday, you know, the church. You will celebrate your night, divine liturgy. You will be smiling to communists. And you will be traitor of the people of Christ. So, you know, and this is what I'm telling you. This is a nothing what this, what survived, you know, in Mukachev in Ukraine. 25 years gulags, married men, married priest. Many of them never come back from Siberia. Can you imagine? For unique things that we were Greek Catholics, Byzantine Catholics, and we were faithful to Pope of Rome. So if somebody, even today, because I hear the United States, I'm listening, you know, the Pope, Francis. If I will be until I will be alive, never. I will permit if somebody is, you know, speaking against Pope. And if somebody is not agree, I can, you know, get up and leave from this, you know, this society. Do you understand why? Do you understand why? Because, you know, our bishops died for Pope and for Christ. So, this is, you know, what I said. So, sanctifying, we have not so many minutes, but, you know, the prayer. Very important things, brothers and sisters. What, you know, the bishop has to teach the people, the priest and the believers, to pray. So, I'm telling you again my experience. Man is created to pray. St. Basil the Great says the prayer is a personal communication with God. Is a person. Where one asks God for good things. And St. Evagrius telling defined prayers as an elevation of the mind of God. My experience, where I remember two moments from my early childhood when, and you understand also my background, and my witness, my father was witness for me. When I had experience of prayer and therefore of meeting of God. The first moment was a prayer with my father when I was about 5 years old. After work at night, he was a hard worker, he was welding. 30 years he was welding. Morning shift, afternoon shift, night shift. Hard worker. After work at night before bed, he called me to my parents' double bed. We knelt beside it, over which hung the image of the Christ sitting on the boat, teaching the people. It was the image, you know, of the Jesus teaching from boat. You know this, you know, from as a. Without explaining something, anything to me special, we make sign of cross ourselves and prayed all the ordinary prayers, what we need, we know from church. In Old Slavonic, can you imagine? It no was my original language. Old Slavonic is a little bit different as a Slovak. So I knew, you know, as an example, that you learn your first languages, prayers in Latin, and afterwards in English, for comparison, to understand. This was how we kept doing it when he was home and not working at night. So at first I was a mess, but after a few months, the words of my prayer merged with my father's words of prayer of a wonderful Byzantine tradition. this is what was my experience. And he passes away last May. And I sat there, there were a couple of bishops, you know, funeral. And I said, my daddy gave me in my religious life and my relation with God more as in my studies, doctoral studies, postgraduate studies in Rome. He was a simple man. Even he hadn't, you know, the high school because, you know, he has to work on farmer's field. But, you know, his faith, as you know, his approach, it was cool for me. He never told one bad word against priests. One bad word. You know, gossiping, you know, priests, you know, we are criticizing everyone. I never heard one word. And even one vulgar word the same. No one. You know, this is a, you know, this example what I'm telling. If you, we will be witnesses in our houses, in our families, brothers and sisters. Theoretically, I'm telling you, can, you know, to raise up potential bishop. No, I'm kidding. But you know, as you know, there's something what is, you know, there also, you know. At the second moment of the prayer, it was as a child when I was a schoolboy with my father again present. We were, you know, in the church. Small boy, 5 years old. You know, during the week, liturgy. No, you know, the Sunday. My two eldest brothers were in altar boys. So they were there, you know. And I was, you know, the 5 years old, you know, guy, small, you know. And in the middle of liturgy, I asked, Daddy, when I will be there? And he said to me, don't worry, your time will come. So, you know, this was my environment. As you know, what does it mean to, you know, to teach theology, teach, you know, the good news, teach, you know, the moral, teach, you know, the love each other. He wasn't perfect. I'm not telling he was, you know, perfect. He wasn't, as you know, saint on earth. But he was witness for me. And this was, you know, the continuing on this base. I realized, you know, later. No, you know, when I was at home. I left my home in 18 when I left in seminary. So, but always, you know, this, we are appreciate this what we have afterwards. And I appreciate right now. Maybe I would like maybe speak more with him about this. But it's just, you know, he's smiling up from me and for me and for me and for me. So, you know, one of the most priest important missions, bishops' important missions, is to teach their believers to pray. Prayer promotes growth in faith. If we'll be praying, our faith in the United States will be growing. If we'll be stopped to pray, our faith will be going down. I am not telling you things. If we'll be telling, making this in our families, we will be, you know, appreciated. Okay. Okay. As a governing, yes, divine liturgy. I have no time, you know, to speak about divine liturgy. You have to come. I will invite you, you know, in our churches because it's the best I can to speak about liturgy. You have to taste as a Jesus. Come and see, and afterwards you will see what does it mean divine liturgy in Byzantine Church. Nothing else. So I, well, it's my invitation. So when governing. United States, you know, the Byzantine Catholic Church in the United States is one of the 23 Eastern Catholic Churches in the world. So one Roman Catholic Church plus other 23 Eastern Catholic Churches. Okay? All united with Pope Francis, actually. So we have, you know, the same Pope, different traditions. Maybe you ask why. You know, have a, you know, the accent, you know, the West Coast. Why is different accent of the West Coast as the accent of the, you know, the Texas? Tell me. So do you understand these differences? They were also when they created, you know, the liturgies in first, third, five, third, fourth, fifth century. You know, different places, different traditions, and different, you know, customs to celebrate. So in this moment, you know, United States, we have actually 12 Eastern Catholic traditions and churches United States present. Can you imagine 12? Practically, you know, small churches, they are present, but they have their own structure. So one of them are Byzantine Catholic Church United States with Metropolitan Church in Pittsburgh, So we are creating, you know, four eparchies, dioceses: Pittsburgh, Passaic, New Jersey, Parma, and Phoenix, Arizona. So actually, we are maybe 30,000 believers. Yes, we are shrinking. But I'm telling, if we will be witnesses, we will be growing. But you know, I don't know if somebody will be listening to me. But you know, this, you know, is a possible and, you know, important. So actually, we have, you know, in our eparchy of Parma, 27 parishes spread in, you know, Father Daniel mentioned, you know, in 12 states and 3 missions. Actually, we have 19 active priests and 13 retired priests. Also, Bishop John Kudrick, who is retired, my predecessor. He's living in Pittsburgh, but he's belonging in our eparchy. And we have 3 candidates in seminary, for seminary. They are studying in Austria, in English College, American College, ITI. Maybe I do hear, maybe no. And coupled candidates for priesthood. And in this, you know, next month are coming 5 married priests from Europe to help us in eparchy of Parma. So it's a big blessing and big hope for us. And on the end, so, and if you want to know more, I invite you, you know, to follow our Facebook, Eparchy of Parma, where I'm, you know, weekly offering 2 minutes short video for gospel. So I'm preaching the gospel, even, you know, this COVID period, the same as well. And also, you know, all our, you know, the, on our YouTube or on Instagram, follow us. We are there present. So in the media, so, and also parma.org, also, you know, the website. Thank you so much. And I, on the end, I would like, you know, to show you 2 minutes, you know, presentation. What is, you know, this our eparchy? That is, that's all from my side. Thank you so much.
The same as it always has been, to proclaim the Word of God, Jesus Christ, in our Byzantine Catholic tradition, and to serve the faithful on their journey with the Lord. Our church has a wonderful future, which will be realized through evangelization and reaching out with ministries such as youth ministry, family ministry, religious education, and catechesis.
We have to work with people. Just like Christ, he always was merciful, kind, doesn't matter the worst sinner in the world, he was merciful to him. And so we have to be merciful and kind and love people. I think if we really love God with our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole mind, I believe loving people will follow.
Whether you donate to the Stewardship Appeal, the Emergency Relief Fund, Priestly Formation, or to your parish, you are making a difference in the eparchy.
God is my witness. I loved every liturgy I stood at the altar for. It was a privilege and a blessing and a gift to be able, I could cry now, to be able to stand at the altar and make Christ present for all those people in the pews. They walk out better than when they walked in. They came in there with their troubles, they left saying, it's okay, everything's okay. They left strengthened. Not by me, but by the liturgy, by the Eucharist, by what they heard in the Gospel, by what I brought out to them.
Thank you for your ongoing generous support of the ministries of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma.
Listen to him all day. Our next First Friday will be January 7th with a presentation by local author David Paul Icke. His talk is entitled Hope for the Lost, Condemned, and Forgotten. and it's about his ministry and study with a group of folks in prison. If you're listening to our podcast on our website, we invite you to join us in person in the future. I'm going to skip through most of these announcements because most of you have heard them before, but we are on online First Friday Club of Greater Akron to get tickets. We do have some subscription forms out there, so please join us in picking out a subscription for next year. We have very few in so far, so if you have those at home and you're on our mailing list, please get those in, and there are some out there on the table to pick up too. I'd like to recognize some of the folks that are here. Please raise your hand if this is your first time at First Friday Club. We want to welcome our youth from Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit. Give us a wave, students. And I'd like to recognize the board members of the First Friday Club. Board members, give a wave too. All the folks who worked to get all this put together. I'd like to invite the bishop to come back up, and our Vice President, William Yoho, will take care of questions. If you have some, hold them up, and we'll pick those up. What has been your best experience since coming to Parma and being the bishop?
There are many, these nice moments that I had here in the United States, during this my 4 years here. For example, we have, the Midwest, the missions. Means that they are not, established as a parish still, because, they have no priest, they have not even own church, they have even, they're in rent. And, you are seeing the huge number of kids. We have been in some missions, in the Omaha, for example, and, in the St. Louis, where the majority, the parishioners, they are kids as an adult. Can you imagine that you have, for example, 40 kids or 30 kids and 10 adults. Is something he said, this is, life here. And even, the atmosphere, the community is feeling, because, they are speaking, they are proclaiming God, they are glorifying God, with their own mode, as a kid. So this is but also, in every community where I'm coming, here, in the Eparchy of Parma, are many, many nice people that really, that expressing me, and this is helping me a lot that I'm not, bishop, I wasn't, that during COVID, it was practically, 2017, 18, 19, so during the 2.5 years, I traveled all Eparchy, and just I start second round. So I was in every community where we have. So I saw personally, I met personally, these people, and I saw them. So our communities are small. In church you have 60, 70 people, 40. That's all what we have. But there, this atmosphere as the family. There know each other, everyone. So this is experience as something, the nice positive for me, that is a potential here. And can I tell you really honestly, is more potential here in the United States for our Byzantine Catholic Church, for example, as in Slovakia. Because I feel here, you know, and see many people who are hungry for, you know, spiritual things, for prayer, for God, for, you know, for to be with God. And this is, you know, something what, you know, encouraging me. And I'm telling you, Byzantine Catholic Church, United States, has future.
Coming from Slovakia, a place devastated by national socialism and communism, what advice would you give to Americans who are tempted by socialism and communism?
For as a first thing, I would, you know, to advise them, you know, these people who desire this, to buy, you know, the trip in China for 1 week, for 10 days, or maybe in Vietnam. You know, where are we? We have, you know, our Jesuits. We have, you know, we know where they are living there. So this is my first advice. If somebody wants to go, or maybe, you know, this, all these countries in Africa where it's under, you know, the communism, you know, the Angola and other wars where, you know, they, you know, these ideas, go there. And after you will be 10 days, but not in a hotel. Go, how living, you know, not in China. Go in Cuba. Go in Cuba. Not in hotel. Go to leave them how they are suffering. They have no, you know, put in their mouth. And afterwards, you will understand what does it mean, you know, this system. It's system who is devastating human dignity. I assure you, all these ideologies, devastating human dignity. You are only one small number for them. Stalin killed 60 million people. Can you imagine 60 million people Stalin killed? So this is my first advice. The second advice, read the witnesses of this from Gulag, Solzhenitsyn. Read, you know, these witnesses of these people, these priests, these bishops, even Orthodox. Many Orthodox bishops, you know, were killed during the Lenin regime. Read, you know, these biographies. Many of them, they are translated, you know, in English. For example, right now, we have, you know, the Blessed Bishop Theodor Ronja. He was killed by communists, by Khrushchev, indirectly, as a 36-year-old bishop. Directly killed. It's a biography. If somebody wants to read, it's a 200 pages. Interesting. Young guy killed by communists as a bishop. We are going, you know, to translate the Blessed Bishop Gojdič. The biography. To read these biographies. These not inventions. This reality. Because you know what's the danger in Slovakia? The young guys, high schoolers, are denying Auschwitz. They are denying, as you know, the 200 miles from Slovakia to Auschwitz. They are denying that Nazi killed 2 million Jews by, you know, burn them, you know, in the stoves. This is a danger for the United States, for young people. They will start to deny historic facts. It is a very danger. And I think, you know, heroes, we have, you know, also from high school students, also representative, try to really, you know, to teach the kids really story, really history, what it was. Because this is very important. So, and third thing, keep your faith. I assure you, if you will have faith, if your heart will be fired by fire, you know, the birth by fire, Holy Spirit, even communists, I will be able to break you.
Is it common to have a Jesuit in the Byzantine church?
No, it's not common. It's uncommon. You know, this was, you know, the mission. Again, also it is good to have, you know, the history from time of St. Ignatius, our Father Ignatius. Just he sent in Ethiopia, you know, to two Jesuits to become, you know, the patriarchs to make, you know, the convert to Catholicism, you know, Ethiopian church. But it was unsuccess. But later, always, you know, Jesuits were, you know, present and to help, you know, this, to support this unionistic, you know, the tendencies to, you know, to come and became, you know, the Catholics, also Eastern Christians. So it's unusually, as also myself, I was raised, born as a Byzantine Catholic, So, but I knew, you know, Byzantine Catholic Jesuits, they were maybe, as a, during the communism, two of them, they were persecuted by communists. But also later, also, you know, my pastor, actually, Archbishop, in pressure of Archbishop Babiak, was Jesuit in underground, and he was pastor in my village. So I knew, you know, he was connection with them. So when I, and, you know, I didn't know other, you know, religious orders. So only, you know, the best I knew, the Jesuits. And I said, I want to be Jesuits, Eastern Jesuits. And, you know, God, my prayers were, you know, heard.
Why are Eastern Rite priests allowed to get married, but not Roman Catholic priests? And are you married?
If you are one-time monk or religious, you can be married. The bishops in Catholic, in Orthodox Church, can't be married. Maybe you didn't know. Only, it was, you know, 4th century, was, you know, one synod in Spain, and they established the bishops in Catholic Church, even in Orthodox churches, they can be married. So they were monk, religious, celibacy priest. Why, you know, in Eastern tradition has, you know, this married priest? Is, you know, all tradition who is coming, you know, from beginning. Even, you know, you have to know, until 13th century, also in Roman Catholic Church, was tradition that priests were married before ordination. And, but afterwards, they decide, you know, the bishops and the synods decides that none will be married. So this is a tradition of the Roman Catholic Church. It not does it mean that couldn't be, you know, the change. All is possible, because, you know, it's not divine law. You know, divine law is one thing. Or, you know, have, you know, for example, you don't kill, Ten Commandments is a divine law. It can be, you know, changed. But afterwards you have, you know, the, how to say, canon law, what, you know, that was established by, you know, the bishops on the synods or the church, and can be, you know, changed. So, but for other side, I have to tell you, you know, it's not only, you know, easy, so, to have married priest. Many things, you know, oh, married priest. Also in these marriages of priests are problems. I have friends right now, you know, in Slovakia that, you know, he was, you know, divorced. 3 kids, you know, after 25 years of marriage. So, you know, they are also, you have to also, as a Roman Catholic, you have to also see, you know, this other side of the marriage priest. You know, not only, you know, this nice thing. You are living in marriages. What do you think? That they are, you know, different, as you know? Their kids are the PK, you know, priestly kids. They have to be, you know, really the witnesses. Because other kids, they're watching them. Ah, you are son of priest. Why you are speaking this? Why you are doing this? Do you understand? So big pressure for these kids. So it's not easy. But it, you know, it's possible. And you have to know that, you know, for 40 years, for 70 years, was forbidden, you know, to be married priest for Eastern Catholic churches. So it was, and thanks of this, big group of Eastern Catholics left from Catholic Church and create 2 Orthodox churches. OCA, Orthodox Church of America, and Carpatho-Russian Orthodox Diocese in Johnstown. So 2, can you imagine, thanks, you know, this, that, you know, was denied, you know, the rights of Eastern Catholics as a married priest in 1929, they were split as a churches, and for, and you know, this law, new law, Pope Francis signed in 2014 only. Again, that, you know, again, you know, in the United States, Eastern Catholic churches can have married clergy. Okay, so maybe on the end, as a bishop, I would like to, you know, wish you really, you know, the blessed time of Advent, of the preparation for coming of Christ. Because he is the biggest gift what we have. Nothing else, you know. These all things could be, you know, recording us, but not to be priority. Even the Christian families, Catholic families, make priority to be in pajamas on December 25th all day, something is wrong. I'm telling you honestly. Because it's the first feast of the Christmas, and all family has to be, you know, in church. To thanks to God, to grateful to God for the biggest gift what we have, the Jesus, our Savior. I wish you blessed Advent and blessed Christmas, and on the end I give you my apostolic blessing. Stand up. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His loving kindness, always, now, and never, and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He beat me to it. I was going to ask him for his blessing, but he didn't. So. It's my pleasure to introduce Our Lady of the Elm student, Vita D. Hirschberger, who will offer our closing prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us gather here today and allowing us to hear the bishop's words. Help the lessons he shared with us. Help us grow in faith and love. And now the Dominican blessing. May God the Father bless us. May God the Son heal us. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us and give us eyes to see with, ears to hear, hands to do the work of God, feet to walk, a mouth to preach the word of salvation, and the angel of peace to watch over us and lead us at last by our Lord's gift to the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Vita D. Just a reminder, too, the subscription forms can be found on our website, too, to subscribe for next year and to order tickets and various dates. I want to, again, thank everyone for coming and hopefully see some of you back next month. And, again, thank Bishop Milan for giving of his valuable time working on those three things that he has to work on all the time. And grab some cookies, folks.